You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. It's a busy show. Travis Kelce of the Chiefs will stop by. We'll talk to Chris Webber. He'll join us coming up as well. And we'll bring back an interview we conducted with the late, great comedian Norm MacDonald, who passed away yesterday. Back in 2014, we had him on, and he was quintessential Norm MacDonald. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com. Our Twitter handle is at DP Show. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country. And, of course, Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app, watch for free. This program brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You can upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their six precision-cut stainless steel blades. You can find it in-store or online, dollarshaveclub.com. Last night, ESPN aired the first part of its 30 for 30 Once Upon a Time in Queens, and it has to do with the 1986 Mets. That was a great team, but even greater characters. Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Lenny Dykstra. And it helps that this team played in New York, where everything is bigger. They belong in an elite group, because when you say the 86 Mets or the 85 Bears, you have an image that comes to mind, but they were one and doneers. You know, the 27 Yankees come to mind, the 72 Dolphins, but like Michael Jordan, you can say Michael Jordan's Bulls and you got six championships. They kind of cancel each other out. Same with Joe Montana and the 49ers. They won four Super Bowls. The 90s Cowboys, the 70s Steelers, the late 90s Yankees. You could also, you know, look at maybe the 2016 Cubs are going to join that list one day. Or the 2016 Cavaliers. All of these teams deserve their own 30 for 30, and most of them will probably get one. But the Mets, they get their turn this week, and it's a lot of fun. I was very fortunate. My first job, my first full-time job in sports was at CNN, where I was in Atlanta and then went to New York to become the New York Bureau reporter. And I got to cover the 86 Mets. I was there 84, 85, 86, and then they sent me back down to Atlanta where I got to anchor some of the weekend sports. But to be around the 86 Mets, to be around them socially was always entertaining. And, you know, when you start to think of that team, you had Gooden and Strawberry who were young, and we thought they were future Hall of Famers. We thought Daryl Strawberry was the next Ted Williams. We thought Dwight Gooden was going to be, well, just Dwight Gooden, the best pitcher we had ever seen, at least in the modern era. But it didn't happen that way. You had a lot of players on that team with a lot of big personalities, and it's a shame they only won one World Series. But I think winning one makes you more interesting. Of course, you'd love to have two or three, but there's always what could have been. The 85 Bears, what could have been? You won one. But being around the personalities, and I remember they tried to do their best to shelter Dwight Gooden. And, you know, I mean, Doc was just a phenomenon. He was one of those where you go, wow, so young, so talented, and dominating. And Daryl Strawberry, he didn't just hit home runs. He hit bombs. You had Keith Hernandez, who it feels like he was the leader of the team. Gary Carter, the catcher, thought it was his team, but it wasn't. Lenny Dykstra had more bravado than I think any athlete I've been around. And you were wondering why he had so much bravado, but he was not afraid. And the fact that he called himself by his nickname, Nails, I always loved. He was not afraid of a big moment there. Ray Knight, former Gold Glove boxer, third baseman, nicest guy in the world until you pushed his buttons. Kevin Mitchell in left field, didn't want to cross him. Like, there was so much going on. Pitchers, you know, Ron Darling, Bobby Ojeda. Who was the left-handed relief pitcher?
Roger McDowell?
Roger was a crazy...
He's a righty, right? Oh.
Yeah. Who was
Aguilera in there?
No. Yeah, Rick Aguilera wasn't a personality. Jesse Orosco was your closer. Like, they just had so many guys. You went into that locker room, and there was a soundbite waiting to happen with somebody in there. But it could be something religious from Gary Carter. It could be something controversial from Lenny Dykstra. Something mysterious from Daryl Strawberry. Like, there was a lot going on. But I'll go back to that 86 Mets team, Game 6 of the World Series, when the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs. And having been there and gone into that locker room, and I remember being told that Keith Hernandez, when you walked in the locker room, his locker was right on the left. And they always put a six-pack of Michelob or Michelob Light. I don't even know if they had Michelob Light back then, but I think it was Michelob. And so, you know, they had his beer was there, and I was told he came in prior to the rally, that he started to get undressed, that he thought that they were going to lose, came in and sat down. And then, of course, they win. I went into the Red Sox locker room first because I wanted to talk to Bill Buckner, and then we went over to the Mets locker room, and it was still chaos. And it was only Game 6, so there was still the Game 7, and the Red Sox took the lead in Game 7 and gave that away as well. But one of those moments where you're like, this team has so much talent, but it didn't feel like they had a collective leader who could keep it all together. It was too powerful, too explosive, too crazy. We didn't even know what was going on with Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden. We didn't know what was going on. Well, we knew, but we didn't really know. Because back then, when somebody talked about cocaine, you're like, how are they able to play baseball? And, you know, you had other, you know, cocaine was a big issue with baseball in the early 80s, maybe in the 70s. But you're just trying to follow this. It was a meteor. And you knew it was going to burn out. You just didn't know when it was going to burn out. And you had Davey Johnson, who was a hands-off manager. Very nice man, but hands-off manager, former player. I mean, just crazy stuff. I remember walking in the locker room, and there was a big fishbowl, and it was full of greenies, like you could amphetamines. It was like, man, maybe dip my hand in there. Happy Halloween. It was just, there was always, always something going on. Yeah, McLovin.
So could a team like this exist today or even 10 years ago?
No.
What was different back then?
No social media. I remember being at a club one night, and Lenny Dykstra had a cigarette, a dip, and a drink all at the same time. That was this team. It was just, there was always something going on. Fascinating, always a story. And then you would just hear things. But back then, it was really, you didn't really know if that was happening. Like Doc Gooden with drugs, Daryl Strawberry with drugs. And I don't think Straw did anything until he got to the Mets. And he talked about being on the back of the team plane doing coke. So his first line of coke, he's with the Mets in the back of the plane, and they're doing blow. And what could have been for Daryl Strawberry? And what could have been for Dwight Gooden? And what could have been for the 86 Mets? But these are the first two episodes. They got two more episodes after this. But, I mean, there's stories of what went on in between innings with some players, with some fans, some women. Like, there's a lot of wild stuff that happened. A lot of wild stuff. Yeah, McLovin.
In between innings? Yeah. Like, they're still in the game?
Those are long innings. At least you hope they are. But so yeah.
They're getting the third base on and off the field. Wait,
okay. All right.
I don't know. That's allowed, right?
Yeah.
Third base.
Yeah. Yeah, takes me back to those moments where, and a lot of times when you're a reporter, you think you have your eyes open. I didn't even know what I was looking for. But even then, back then, I was not breaking stories like that. I'm just covering the Mets kind of on the periphery. I wasn't there every day. But, you know, accusing somebody of drug use, like you couldn't do that. You know, there were certain people like Kevin Mitchell. I don't think I ever talked to Kevin Mitchell. He scared me. He truly scared me. Wally Backman, he was a wild guy too. Like there was so much stuff that went on. And these personalities, it was quite a show. But they only won one. And the reason why they only won one is because they were the 86 Mets. They weren't destined to be the 86, 87, or 88 Mets. They were the 86 Mets. Yeah, Paul.
It's so much different now. Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Washington team is the quirky guy because he's got a beard and went to Harvard. That's his wildness. Like, it's so different now.
Yes, Todd.
You think if Davey Johnson was more strict, less lenient, they could have won more, or they needed to have that personality to even win that one in 86?
I don't know. I don't know if they would have listened. But Davey was a former player. I mean, I'm guessing, but look at the 85 Bears. They had Mike Ditka, Mr. Disciplinarian. They only won one. Should have won two, but, you know, they won one. That's it. But those one-and-dones are more fascinating. Now, I know the Jordan Bulls, you know, there was so much going on there. That they're kind of an anomaly. But what happened with that one year, that magical year, and how it happened? And the Bears just dominated. Whereas the Mets should have lost. You know, it's like when you have a band that stays together for just a little while, like Nirvana, like where you go, God, what could have been? That's the Mets of 86. You just have this moment where you go, let's capture it. Oh, this is going to last forever. Gooden's going to continue to dominate. He's going to continue to be 24-4 and have the wicked curveball. I sat behind home plate on an off day. And I remember it was Gooden against Dennis Martinez in the Expos. And I went out to watch that game just because Gooden was on the mound. And I sat behind home plate. And it's still one of those moments, as many sporting events as I've seen, when you see somebody and you go, this team has no chance. His fastball and then that breaking ball, and you're just watching grown men and you're going, and he's a kid. Like Gooden's 20. And you're watching something, you think, this is going to last for a long time. And he had pockets, you know, but he had demons. And we've had Doc on before, and we've talked about this. And you can't help but like him. But they tried to protect him the best they could. It was really difficult to get an interview with him back then. I enjoyed Strawberry. I thought Strawberry was wonderful when he was there. But they came up with excuses all the time, like, he's got a toothache. He's got a sinus infection. And then you didn't realize, but, you know, it was a day game after a night game, and Straw wasn't going to be there. It was there. I just didn't know how to, get to it, you know. And even then, I probably wouldn't have been equipped to do something like that. You know, it's like, you know, Mark McGwire right in front of me. But I didn't know it was right in front of me. Jason Giambi, like sometimes it's right in front of you. And you still, and it's not like I went, I don't want to believe it, but I think you want to enjoy it. You're covering the enjoyment of sports sometimes, not what is going on behind the scenes. Like the Mets, I truly enjoyed going to game. First date I ever had with my wife, Strawberry broke his hand in a game. I think it was May 12th. And I just remember we went because I loved watching the Mets play. Yeah, McLovin.
It was the same about Jordan. Like, they didn't dig too deep into Michael Jordan's personal life.
Yep. And back then, no social media. And if you did, then Michael off the court with women or gambling, then that would have been brought to light. But it wasn't. I mean, go back through history with a lot of these teams, controversial characters. Nowadays, we hear it. We see it. It's written. Somebody leaks something. There's a picture. There's always a picture. Yeah, Paul.
I was thinking back of young athletes that just blossomed really fast. I don't think there's another athlete in another sport that I would bet more money on was going to the Hall of Fame than Dwight Gooden at age 20. Like you said, 24-4, yeah. Led the league in strikeouts, complete games, innings pitched. He won the Cy Young, fourth in the MVP. His ERA in the National League was 1.53. I would have bet my life savings when he was 20, he'd be in the Hall of Fame, like Earl Campbell or Lawrence Taylor type.
But I think people back then thought Daryl Strawberry was going to hit 500 home runs because he just had that ability. He just had this natural ability. I mean, we marvel at Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. Straw had a swing that it was just a home run swing. But it's a lot of fun. Take a trip down memory lane. And, man, wild stuff. Yeah, McClellan.
I noticed a trend. I listened to your wife on the 1215 podcast.
Yeah.
All your early dates were sporting events that either you or her were credentialed for.
I didn't have any money. I would bring her to a Virginia Slims tennis event when Martina was playing.
Nice.
And she sat in the front row. We sat in the front row. And my wife knows nothing about sports, and she's just talking like this, you know, and you know, Martina's got the ball ready to serve, and my wife's going, so, and then Martina looks over, and it's like, to me, like, really? And I said, shh, you gotta be quiet. Why? I said, because Martina's looking over here. And then she looks over and sees Martina staring at us at this Virginia Slims event at the Garden. Yeah, see.
Talk about a throwback to an era, you know, sporting events, major sporting events with huge superstar names sponsored by cigarette companies.
Oh, yeah. Virginia Slims,
tennis, yeah. Nationals.
I took
whatever.
Her to the Flyers against the Edmonton Oilers. As I was covering the Stanley Cup Finals. And I remember you could smoke back then in the Spectrum.
Good old days.
Yeah, you had guys smoking cigars. And I remember first period, there's a rush, and Gretzky has the puck. And I said, oh, there goes Gretzky. And my wife stands up because she's there because, hey, you got to go see Wayne Gretzky, I guess. And this guy behind me yells to her, hey, broad, sit the bleep down. Now, I'm sort of on a date, but I'm working. And I'm thinking, do I say something to this guy? Because he's a big guy. And then she said, what did he say? I go, I don't know. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear anything. Man. Yes, Todd.
But is there a small part of you as a fan said, you know what? She should sit down. And like she's blocking a very big moment, even though this is a special person sitting next to you on a date.
Thank you, Todd. We'll come up with a poll question. We got our play of the day, a stat of the day. We got a lot of things to get to. And we'll start with Travis Kelce, the Chiefs tight end. He'll join us coming up. It's almost 18 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover, which means when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing that word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I told you they wouldn't last long. Take me up on this. Something special available right now at the store, danpatrick.com. We collaborated with a new clothing partner, Sportique, created a limited edition tailgate package, pair of sweats, sweatshirt, a winner, lose, we celebrate flask, custom box, specifically built for this bundle, and you get a handwritten note from me. We haven't done anything like this before. The reaction yesterday when we first told you about it was great. There's less than 200 available in the store at danpatrick.com, so hurry, they won't last long. Earlier this morning, I heard from a source who said that there is mutual interest with USC and a current college coach. Had that for you coming up here in a moment. We'll settle on a poll question. We got a play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. 877-3DP-SHOW. He's Travis Kelce. He joins us via Zoom. Always great to see him. And usually, got the short hair. I like that. Who gave you your haircut?
Hattie Cuts, baby. Philly's finest.
How much you pay for that?
Man. You know what? I always look out, man. I appreciate the tight fade. Any travel. So I think just north of 100.
I mean, you got good moss. Why'd you cut it off?
What, all this?
No, well, everything. You kind of like...
Yeah, no, I mean, just you're maintaining it, man. It's just... You got to wake up a whole 10 minutes earlier, you know?
Have you ever put pomade in your hair? Have you ever done something before you played a football game?
Before the game? Yeah. Oh, man, I made that mistake and done it, like, before practice or something like that. And, I mean, you just sweat just right in. Now you can't see, right? And
yeah.
It's bad. It gets real bad. No, so I had to stop doing that.
Okay, did you not know you were playing the Ravens this Sunday night?
You know what? I knew we had them early. I didn't know it was going to be the second game. I just didn't put two and two together. You know, the Ravens were playing right here. Why is Peyton asking me this question? Oh, because we're playing the Ravens. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I think we got the Chargers. Now we got the Chargers week 3, I believe. So I was a little off, but I always Coach Reed always gives us 24 hours to enjoy the win. So once we got back in the building today, I was right on cue with who we're playing, and I was locked in.
Okay, but does it matter who you're playing? Do you prepare differently if you were playing the Chargers as opposed to the Ravens?
1,000%. I mean, not necessarily the routine, the mentality that you have going into the week. That kind of stays the same. You have to find that professionalism in making sure that you're always ready for each individual team. But they have different defenses, right? So it's just you understand what teams are doing differently, and you try and attack them knowing their weaknesses, or trying to find a weakness in what they're doing.
Would you watch that? Like, did you pick up anything from the Ravens watching that game?
They play a lot of man coverage, and they love to blitz. It doesn't matter how many times you hurt them when they do blitz. They're going to keep it coming. And with a team like that, you got to bring it. I know they're going to be in at home Sunday night. First game, they've had a lot of people. I don't think they had any fans last year being on the East Coast, everything being locked down. So I know that city and that fan base are going to go nuts.
A lot of quarterbacks want the opposition to blitz because that means somebody's going to be open and it's man coverage.
Yeah, I mean, typically when you blitz, there's less guys in the back end, which means there's more hold, more voids. Anytime you get a guy like Tyreek Hill manned up, or, you know, Mecole Hardman manned up with less guys in the back end, I mean, you got to be licking your chops. But, I mean, they're very good at what they do. I mean, obviously, watching last night's game, they created a lot of problems for the Raiders. And, I mean, it's going to be a challenge, that's for sure.
How many times have you gone to the line of scrimmage and said, this is going to be a touchdown?
Too many. Really? Too many times where it doesn't end up being a touchdown and I kick myself. There were a few plays this past weekend where it's, you know, you just want to get them back so you can run the route differently, or, you know, attack it a different way and end up in the end zone. But it just, I mean, you learn from it. That's why you're nonstop learning. I'm in my ninth year and I still got a lot to learn in my mind.
Was there any added incentive? You grew up in Cleveland, playing Cleveland.
I guess you could definitely say that. It's ironic that I'm playing Cleveland this week and then I play Baltimore the next week, because when I was a child, our model moved the team to Baltimore and took football away from the city. I got kind of a love-hate relationship for both of them, knowing that a lot of my favorite guys ended up playing for Baltimore. And well, growing up, I was always a Browns fan.
When the Browns left for Baltimore, did you cry?
I did. I cried, and I remember my dad took us up to the municipal stadium. It was the last year that they had that stadium open downtown, and I mean, there were Browns players in there. It was kind of like a fan day, fan appreciation day, and we went home with some bleachers in the trunk of the car.
Wait, were you supposed to take the bleachers home?
It's Cleveland, baby. You know what I mean? Act like you know what you're doing, man.
He's Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chiefs tight end, joining us on the program. And when you celebrate, like when you get ready to score a touchdown, are you thinking, what am I going to do when I get into the end zone? Like, do you ever think those kind of out-of-body experiences?
I used to think about it a little bit more. A lot of through my younger years, it was probably premeditated a little bit more. Now it's just, I just want to get in there. And I got such good chemistry with the team. It usually just turns into me just getting whacked up in the head because everyone gets excited. You get in the end zone, you go here, and all of a sudden everybody's smacking you upside the head, telling you good job. You're just like, hey, thanks. All right, there it is. How about one more? All right.
I wondered, sometimes you could get hurt on a celebration because everybody wants to congratulate you, or you get at the bottom of a pile.
Yeah, no, the bottom of the pile, I mean, that's it's fun until you really get stuck underneath a couple 300 pounders. So you got to get out. Make sure you're off the ground when you're in the end zone, man.
When did you know you were in trouble in the Super Bowl?
Probably midway through the third quarter. You start to see where the score is, and you start to see kind of how the game's unfolding. It's just, yeah, that was probably the biggest point. The time winding down. We're running out of time to really make our way back into this game effectively. And yeah, that wasn't the best feeling in the world,
because you haven't had that experience before in a long time, I'm guessing.
In a really long time. I know we played Pittsburgh in, I think, 2016, and that was really the last time that we've ever really just got a lot of points put up on us, and as an offense, we didn't do anything.
But do you, and you can't help your line, can you? Because you got to be a weapon to get out, but you know your offensive line needs help against Tampa Bay. Like, how do you kind of balance that of what do you do, when can you do it?
Give yourself no excuse. No excuses. We got great guys out there. We had I love that offensive line and everything they gave us that day and everything before that day. You know, they're just – it was Tampa Bay came out and they were ready, man. They were ready. That's all I can say about it is that on that day they were the better team, man.
When's the last time Mahomes yelled at you?
Man, I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
It's been a while. I think he's never yelled at me specifically. I think he's just yelled at or got uplifting, like he was in a leadership way, the entire offense when things just aren't going our way and we need a little spark. Indirectly, he's gotten on a few people. But that's what makes him one of the best leaders and one of the best players in the league and such a guy that you want to play with and want to play for and his ability to relate to guys and get the best out of them in situations like that is why he's Pat Mahomes.
Got a funny story from him in the huddle?
Nothing I can share right now. Maybe after my career.
Oh, really?
I'll spill the beans a little bit.
What's his demeanor like? Like, does he joke? Does he, like Joe Montana famously in the Super Bowl goes, oh, there's John Candy over there. Like, is Mahomes that aware of the surroundings during a game?
I think when we're rolling and he's feeling good, yeah. I do think he's much more aware of his surroundings and likes to kind of play a little bit more into the showmanship that is Pat Mahomes, Showtime Mahomes. But for the most part, he's a very locked-in competitor. He's thinking about the next play, the next situation that's at hand, and the next play call.
You know, I've been trying to get this Usain Bolt, Tyreek Hill – whatever this race with these two. And I thought he could put up a gold medal and Tyreek puts up his Super Bowl ring. Whose side would you be on?
I'm going to take Tyreek Hill all day. I've never seen anybody in person faster than Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to stick with that until I see it happen.
Okay, but are you willing to put something on it? It's one thing to say you're going to back your teammate.
Oh, yeah, no. Am I putting my Super Bowl ring up?
Yeah.
I'll put up my AFC championship from last year. Okay. I'll put that up.
Oh, so you'll put your AFC title, your ring from that. Okay. I don't know if Usain Bolt wants that.
We'll see. We'll see. He's got a few gold medals, so, I mean, he might not care about one of them.
Maybe you could be the warm-up race. You versus George Kittle in a warm-up race. Hey, how's that?
Hey, everybody, who wants to see me get dusted by Usain Bolt?
No. I got you going against George Kittle.
Oh, Kittle's would probably get me too. I'm not gonna lie. I like to think that I'm almost as fast as George, but it might get on me. He's an explosive dude, man.
Give me your best Peyton Manning sales pitch for Tide.
Well, I'm excited.
Well, didn't Peyton
Tide
set the standard? Like Peyton is like the ideal pitch man here.
You know it. He was the face of the NFL for years, and obviously Tide working with the league for years and years. I'm excited to work with them on the campaign to get everyone to turn to cold. That's right. When you turn to cold and you don't use hot water, you're saving energy and you're saving money on the energy bill. And it's just making the planet a better place, man. And that's what I'm here for. If you go to Tide.com, you actually can enter to win a chance at a washing machine with my voiceover as you turn too cold and use the cold water. You get until October 5th to pledge the cold online at Tide.com. And everybody, who doesn't want a free washer, man? Come on now.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. All right. All right. Now, were you reading that? Is there a cue card in front of you?
No. Only thing I can read right now is DP Studios, baby.
That's it?
That's it, man.
Hey, have fun against Baltimore or the Chargers or whoever you play next.
Yeah, whoever we got, baby. We'll get fired up and get ready this week, man.
Hey, great to talk to you again, and thanks.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Rock on, guys.
Travis Kelce, Chiefs tight end. He knows what he's doing. He's good. Always fun. Having fun, too. Had a couple of touchdown receptions. So what if you don't know if you're facing the Ravens or the Chargers? Small details there. Yeah, McLevin.
We were talking about why are tight ends so fun right now? They never used to be fun. Now it's Kittle and Kelce and Gronk.
Well, the older generation didn't get interviewed because you didn't utilize the tight end the way we do now. I mean, when you think back through history, Mike Ditka, John Mackey, we sort of started there that they became personalities. There were athletes at the tight end position. Kellen Winslow. These were athletes at the tight end position. Tony Gonzalez. Then we had Gronk. Now you have Kelce. Now you have a variety of tight ends who have athleticism. George Kittle. They can get down the field. They're getting the ball thrown to them. I think that's really the big key. All right, prior to Travis Kelce joining us, I mentioned that a source told me this morning that there is mutual interest, USC and a current college coach. You guys want to play Guess That Coach? Who wants to offer up the first guess of, from what I'm told, there's mutual interest between this coach and USC? By the way, raise your hand if you haven't been mentioned for the job at USC. It feels like everybody, it's open for business here. But this, from what I'm told this morning, mutual interest with this coach by USC. Todd Fritz.
He's got a good thing going, but PJ Fleck.
PJ Fleck, Minnesota. Anybody else want to offer up? Paulie?
This coach has been a hot property the past few years, but this year could be a cooling year, and you want to move while you're still hot.
Okay.
Matt Campbell of Iowa State.
Matt Campbell of Iowa State. McLovin.
I'm reading James Franklin's name a lot. I'll go James Franklin.
Franklin. Seton O'Connor.
Patrick Montgomery Fitzgerald, North.
Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm going curveball on you.
One of you is correct. In fact, this coach was asked about the USC vacancy rumors yesterday. His name is James Franklin at Penn State.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and all of our energy is on our preparation for Auburn.
That's a non-denial denial. Yes, Todd.
So he's Nittany going to answer that question, basically. Okay.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah.
No?
I thought you were going to do, yeah. I'd be lying if
Okay, that's better. You saved me again.
All right, thank you, Todd. Yes, Paul.
James Franklin didn't even give a fake no. You got to give that, you know, I'm totally focused on the team. I don't care about coaching rumors.
He sounded like he was totally caught off guard by it, where it's like, oh, man, I didn't realize this was getting out.
Play it again. Here's James Franklin.
As you guys know, I can't stand in any form of distraction. So I'll discuss this today with the leadership council so that we can make sure that all of our energy and is on our preparation for Auburn.
Wait, what coach loves a good distraction? Yeah. And the leadership council, what's this have to do with the leadership council?
Does that mean it's like coaching staff?
I don't know. I don't know who's on the leadership council.
Sounds like some serious HR branding there.
Let's get the senior leadership council together.
Yes, Paulie.
If I didn't like a distraction, my agent and I wouldn't be talking to the USC athletic director. I'd be coaching my team. That's what I would do if I didn't want a distraction. I wouldn't book my next gig.
Once again, that's my source saying that that there's mutual interest with James Franklin and USC. Yes, we love
it. Is USC way better than Penn State as a program? Is that a big step up? I'm surprised by the mutual interest part.
I don't think right now. I mean, James Franklin's done a pretty good job there. Penn State, it feels like, is in pretty good shape. You know, had the opening win against Wisconsin. So, you know, these coaches, a couple of years here and a couple of years there and a couple of years there, there's other coaches that get locked in and they don't want to go anyplace. But, you know, James Franklin was at Vanderbilt, escaped Vanderbilt, then got to Penn State. And by all accounts, I think he's done a pretty good job there. And, you know, it's the next challenge. You know, that's a lot of these coaches look at it as, well, you know, done with this, next challenge. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of names you're going to hear. A lot of names. There might even be changes at USC in the power structure there. You know, the important people. The higher-ups at USC. There's a lot going on here for a program that hasn't been relevant for quite some time. Yeah, McLovin.
You ever seen when Keegan-Michael Key, the actor, comes out to the team and pretends he's James Franklin?
Yes.
So maybe that's a USC lookalike.
Well, maybe they could replace him with James Franklin with Keegan-Michael Key. All right, let me take a break. We got our play of the day coming up next. We'll settle on our poll question back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
The play. The play's called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Swung on and hit in the air to right field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. That is gone. A two-run home run, a Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the judge. The 2-0 is hit in the air to right and deep. That ball is gone over the high scoreboard wall. It's a two-run home run, a Stantonian home run. Giancarlo Nocipostoparlo jolted to left. It is high. It is far. That is gone. A line drive home run in the left field seats. So David John makes long gone. He homers to left, and the Yankees take a 7-1 lead.
I think we got the idea after the first home run. WFAN, Yankees Radio Network. Since the start of the 2019 season, the Yankees have hit 103 home runs off the Orioles pitching, the most by any team against any opponent during that span. The Rays, White Sox, Brewers, Giants, Dodgers have all clinched postseason spots. That's our play of the day, and it's brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor right now. You're going to get a smooth shave. You got that 6 precision cut stainless steel blades. You can go to dollarshaveclub.com or find it in stores. We were just talking about James Franklin and USC. From what I'm told, there's mutual interest on both sides. Luke Fickell, he's at Cincinnati, and his former athletic director is the current athletic director at USC. And here is Luke Fickell being asked about the USC rumors.
Look, I don't talk to anybody. I barely talk to my own family during the season. And, so I wouldn't ever talk about it, nor would I have even answer a phone call or anything like that. So I know nothing, nor does it make me have any interest.
Okay. A little more definitive than James Franklin. Chances are your agent's doing the talking. That's how this works. So you can say, look, I haven't spoke to anybody. I haven't talked to anybody. Yeah, you're right. Probably haven't. Does somebody close to you? Have they? How would you answer if I said, hey, you're rumored to be up for the USC job? Seton, I'll start with you. Coach, do you want to talk about the rumors? You maybe going to USC?
I don't address rumors with the media. There's a million of them a day. I don't have time for that.
Are you interested in USC if they call?
Right now, I'm focused on, Appalachian State or whoever they're playing next.
Okay. But you didn't say if you're interested or not interested, Coach.
Yeah. Is there a question about the game coming up or? That's what they always do. They try and get it like, yeah. I don't know, like, are you guys going to start doing your job and ask about the game or what?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I don't have time for this.
Coach, we're doing our job by asking if you're interested in USC. I mean,
does anybody here want to talk football or do we want to talk rumors?
All right, McLovin?
So if I'm Luke Fickell, I just say it's easy. Sorry, we're on to Cincinnati.
Oh, no, you are Cincinnati.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not on to Cincinnati.
Who's That's a problem for Luke Fickell.
Yeah, it is. He can't say he's on to Cincinnati.
Do you know who they play next?
I don't know.
I'd be terrible. I'm an awful liar.
Paulie?
I'm just focused on Cincinnati Bearcat football. You know, we've got a big game this weekend against Indiana. All our focus about Indiana. Next question.
Are you interested in USC if
I'm
they
interested
call?
In beating Indiana this weekend. We're in the top 10 and can't wait to get the game going.
So if USC calls.
Unless they're going to give me tips on Indiana football, I'm not taking their call.
Oh, you're going to be, are you pounding the podium?
Yeah,
oh,
definitive.
Okay. I like that. We'll pound the podium. Todd does that.
I pound the podium.
Yes, you
Whoa.
Do.
Wow.
Todd, I hear your name mentioned with USC. Are you interested in USC?
You know what? It's always flattering to be heard and spoken about in a positive way, but I'm the head coach of Cincinnati, and that's where my focus is right now. But I appreciate your interest in my possible future coaching opportunity.
Well, you said you're flattered by that. Did somebody reach out to you or somebody close to you?
Not that I'm aware of, but even if you're just hearing it from rumor and innuendo that your name's being thrown around for high-profile jobs, it means you're held in high regard, and that's a nice thing to hear, but I'm the Cincinnati Bearcats coach.
Are you focused on your team?
I am completely focused on my team, and right now I'm the coach of Cincinnati.
Okay.
Right now. Right now you're the coach of Cincinnati?
Yeah. Remember when the Rams said Jared Goff was their quarterback right now?
That's when you step into something, when you say the right now part.
Oh, you would be dead meat for the media.
What do you mean right now?
Because you would just start talking and somehow try to talk your way out of something.
And when I had dinner with the USDF,
Wait.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's about Cincinnati. It's about the Bearcats.
McLovin, what's the poll question today?
Okay, we have a question about the USC job. It's different than your coaching candidate, but Eric Bieniemy's name was thrown out yesterday by Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. Just generally, if you were a hot assistant coach and you had an offer in the offseason for an elite college program or a head coaching job in the NFL, which would you take?
But I don't know what Eric Bieniemy wants to do. If his goal is to coach in the NFL, then I would stay true to that and not go, well, because Patrick Ewing did this. Patrick Ewing thought he could get a head coaching job in the NBA. And he was an assistant coach for many, many years. And then all of a sudden, the opening came up at his alma mater, Georgetown, and he took the job so he could be a head coach. I don't know if Eric Bieniemy goes, I'm not going to get hired in the NFL. Let me go to a college job, and maybe I could parlay that into getting a head coaching job. I don't know. I don't know what Eric Bieniemy wants to do. He's got a good job with the Kansas City Chiefs. Had some interviews in the offseason, but I don't know if it's I'm going to be a coach in the NFL or I'm not going to be a head coach. I don't know.
Which job do you think is harder?
Recruiting. But you can turn around your program quicker in college. There's no salary cap. You just out-recruit somebody, and you can bring in five players that can change your entire roster. In the NFL, it's really hard to do that because you got a draft, you got free agency. Who are you going to lose? Who can you sign? How much money? Who's your quarterback? What division you're in? Like, there's a lot that goes into that where you can be successful in college football. You can win 9 games and be successful. Keep your job. In the NFL, if you win 9 games, you may not keep your job for a long period of time. But back to James Franklin, he's been there, I think, going into his 7th year. I mean, that's a lot, it feels like. That almost feels like you make a move now or you're going to be there for a lot longer. And I'm not beholden to anybody in this. If James Franklin wants to stay at Penn State, great. If he decides he wants to go to USC, maybe try to revitalize that program. I understand it. People always love challenges, new challenges. Chris Weber is going to join us coming up. We'll get to phone calls, settle on our poll question. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. Close out the first hour with our friends from Level Select. When I finish golfing or lifting weights or running around the neighborhood, my body doesn't recover like it used to. Today, it's all about the sore muscles, post-workout discomfort, popping up in new spots all the time. Do what I do. Level Select CBD sports creams and roll-ons. If it's good enough for people like Carson Palmer, spent 15 years in the NFL, Ricky Fowler, former Dodger great Steve Garvey, good enough for me. I trust Level Select CBD because it's formulated with doctors. The high concentration of CBD allows me to feel it work immediately, and it's made with 0% THC. Level Select CBD, apply directly to sore spots. Let the proprietary blend of CBD go to work. You feel it right away. Go to levelselectcbd.com. Use the promo code DP30. That means you will get $30 off your entire order today. $30 off levelselectcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP30. Levelselectcbd.com, promo code DP30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.